the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory it doth fill. Well, I will look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Well, oh, that city on Mount Zion, though a pilgrim, yet I love it still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Well, I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says whosoever. Before.
that I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. Oh, that city on Mount Zion. Oh, a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. How many's looking forward to going to that city? Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church again together to worship Him in spirit and truth. And we got a few prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Before we do, just want to announce again, Lord willing, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we will not be having a Sunday evening service. We'll be having the normal Sunday morning service. That's April the 17th, but no Sunday evening service. And have several prayer requests here that we want to bring before the Lord. Sister Savannah had asked that we please pray for Jeff Fass. Brother Jeff, he's been sick, so I want to remember him in prayer. And Sister Estera had shared this letter with us, and just wanted to read that. It says, a prayer to thank you. I just wanted to thank you for the kindness you have shown. Praying for me, your prayers really helped me a lot. I was pushing off taking care of a condition I've been dealing with for years. Now with a better insurance, I'm able to take care of it. Please keep me in your prayers as more tests and doctor's visits to come in months. Thank you, and may God richly bless you, Sister Johnson. So, amen. We certainly appreciate that, and we'll continue to pray for her. And Brother Cliff Farmer, he's an evangelist from Arkansas, had text messaged me yesterday and asked to please have the church pray for him. He said tomorrow, which would actually be today. He said, I've been working with the Baptist church for a year and a half, and they asked me to teach them about why we follow the message and to show them Brother Branham's teachings in the scripture. So praise the Lord for that. We just want to remember him in prayer today as he tries to do that. Brother Jimmy and Sister Patty Ard, they're traveling. Want to remember them in prayer. And then Brother Donnie had text messaged me last night and asked us to remember Brother Homer Longoria's wife. Brother Homer, many of you know him as a pastor from down in Alabama, and his wife, Sister Margie, has been having just terrible back pain due to a disc problem that she's got in her back. And many years ago, used to go to Brother Homer's. They used to have a youth camp there, and was blessed many, many times, and they're a very sweet couple. Just want to remember Sister Margie. Any of you that have had back pain know what's that's like, and can sympathize with that. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Layton, would you just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this morning?
Let us bow our heads. Father, you truly are a kind and loving God. We come before you now in the name of Jesus. That name, Lord, that you provided us with, that you said it was the only name whereby we could approach you. And Father, we approach that throne of grace this morning and asking for mercy, Lord, for these requests that went forth. Father, you know every one of them. May you be with the sister with the bad back. And Lord, may you heal her for your glory. Be with the brother that's going to try to speak to some people concerning your prophet and your word. Lord Jesus, just guide him and help him. Be with our sister Johnson, Lord, as she faces some tests. But Father, we know you're the healer. For you said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. And Lord, we've been taught if we could just ask in faith, believing, that you would answer our requests. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask this morning that you do that, not only for these which I've spoken, but those, Lord, that the pastor has spoken. I can't remember each and every one of them, but Father, you know all of them, and you know the ones that were behind every hand that was raised. Father, no doubt lost souls, loved ones, friends, and acquaintances that we'd love to see come in. As I remember the pastor saying one time that his uncle had said he didn't even want to see his worst enemy go to hell. Lord, we should all be that way. We've got to be able to not just love those that do good for us, but those that would despitefully use us, those that would hate us. Lord, and still love them with the love that you have. Help each one of us to gain that place, Lord, where we can love them no matter what. And pray for them. But Lord, we don't want anyone to be lost. Yet we know according to thy word, there'll be those that are. But Father, we still ask you to bring in your children. I have loved ones that aren't serving you, and I know others in the church and other places that have the same. Father, bring them in before the last moment of time when we're caught out of here. Be with us this morning here in this service, I ask. May your presence just go up and down the aisles and between the pews, and may everyone be blessed. If there's any lost, may they be saved. Any sick, may they be healed. And Lord, those of us that have the Holy Ghost, may you refill us this morning. Lord, may you anoint the pastor as he brings forth the word, and anoint your word and use it, Father, to pull each one of us into that place where we belong. We thank you for these that have come out. We thank you for your love and your mercy, for the word that you revealed to us. Thank you, Lord. For calling each one of us that are your children, we thank you for that. Unworthy as we are, Lord, we thank you for your calling and for your choosing, for your filling, for your revelation. Be in this service, Lord. May we glorify you. May we worship you. May we just raise our hands in praise to you, because you're worthy of all of our praise. Hear our prayers and hear our desires and answer them in thine own perfect way and for thy glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. We'll do the psalm reading at this time also. We'll start with the 155th. Read through the 165th, I believe it is, if I keep them right. And we'll all read the 165th together. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies.
I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word.
Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness.
Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments is forever.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word.
I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil.
I hate and abhor lying, but thy laws do I love.
7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
God bless you. You can be seated this morning.
Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater than any earth.
let the whole world know that greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Then, oh, let's sing it again together.
Stand together this morning. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Oh, I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Is that how you feel? Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want. Worldly fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, friends, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His fire. Then and there, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Blue devil, oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Well, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, and some worldly fame. If I could still, I would. Oh, shake somebody's hand this morning and tell them about it. Oh, yes, I would. Tries to turn me around. Lord, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want. Oh, and worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing. Well, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When
wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, yes, I would take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I've had, worldly fame, if we could still have. Oh, just praise him this morning. Oh, no, I would take nothing. Got a name, all the wealth I know, worldly fame, if I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's how I feel this morning. There's only one direction that the bride goes. She doesn't go back. She doesn't go back to the denominations or back to the world, just onward and upward, moving forward. Amen. It's good to be serving him this morning. Amen. God bless you. We want to look at this thought. I was listening to a tape earlier this week, and just seemed like the thought was laid on my heart, and just want to share that with you this morning with the help of the Lord on a, well, if I can get my device to work here. On a bruised reed. And I don't know if you'll be able to see it or not this morning. There we go. A bruised reed. We want to look first at Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1 says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Let's just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look at your word and we begin to read the quotes in the scriptures, Father, I just ask that you be with us this morning. Lord, may you just lead and guide. Lord, no doubt there's many here this morning that are facing different situations in their life, different circumstances. Maybe some are sick. Maybe some are facing decisions. Lord, I just ask that you'd lead them and guide them and be with them, Father. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just move in each life and just quicken your word to them, Father. Lord, the portion that they would have need of for this portion of their journey. Lord, I just ask that you would make the word alive in them, Father. Give them the faith that they need for the journey. Give them the strength that they need. Just encourage each heart, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Isaiah is speaking here of Jesus, and he says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." And I just want to look at those words for a moment here. And in the Hebrew lexicon, this word bruise, it means to crush or oppress. And if you look at it in the Amplified Bible, it says it this way: "A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he shall not quench." I begin to look at this a little bit in the table software, and they've got many different dictionaries and references and things like that. And the Easton's Bible Dictionary says, "A bruised reed is an emblem of a believer weak in grace." And then a commentary, critical and explanatory on the whole Bible, says, "The flax put for the lamp wick," it says, "smoking means dimly burning, smoldering, the flame not quite extinct." And so we're looking at the life of Jesus here, and Isaiah, by prophecy, begins to look at him and describe what he's going to be like. And he says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." And we can relay that to many of our lives, how that we were maybe bruised and broken and torn, and maybe we'd been hurt by different things, or maybe our light was just about to flicker out, just dim and weak, and maybe our walk with him wasn't where it should be. But he didn't come and snuff out the light just because we weren't where we needed to be at that time. Neither did he break us in two, though we were bruised. But what Christ does is he picks up and he begins to bind the brokenhearted. He begins to encourage those that need encouragement. He begins to strengthen the weak. And Psalms chapter 34, verse 17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them," or "Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Yes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Yes. Amen. When I look at my Bible, I never find where he promised that it would be easy. I never find where he promised that there wouldn't be trials and there wouldn't be times when, you know, things would bring us to our knees and bring us to tears, and that there wouldn't be sickness and that there wouldn't be discouragement come along our way sometimes, and that there wouldn't be things that would hurt us and that would you know, just emotionally make us distraught. But he did say that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. It didn't say that we never have afflictions. In fact, it said many are the afflictions of those that are righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And many times when we're trying to live the best life that we know how, and we're trying to serve God, that's when we don't understand sometimes why the persecutions come and why that there are afflictions. If we get out in sin and you know, we know that we're wrong and Satan begins to come in and do things in our life, then we can acknowledge, "Well, Lord, I was wrong. I can admit that I was wrong. I got out of the way and I did this and I did that, and I guess this is just my recompense for the things that I did." But then when we turn to God in those times when he maybe puts us on our back in a hospital bed or maybe begins to take things from us like Job to get our attention, and we find ourselves turned and trying to do everything that we know how to do to serve him and trying to walk in all the light that we see, and then afflictions come, then we begin to question, "Lord, why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow troubles to come? Why would you allow problems to raise up in the church or to raise up around the message or to raise up in my own personal life? Why would you do this, Lord, when I'm doing all that I know how?" Many times it's because we've been taught contrary to the scripture, and we've listened to nominal teaching and men that, you know, TV evangelists that tell us that everything's just going to be all right and you don't have to worry and God loves you and you can do what you want and God's just going to bless you, and they preach prosperity and they preach good times, and those sermons don't preach very well in third world countries. When they go tell everybody, "Oh, just you can speak to your circumstance and just change it." Well, if you're talking about God moving in your life, that's right. But if you're talking about name it and claim it, then you're absolutely wrong. There's many people out here in third world countries, they're not going to speak themselves a Cadillac into existence, or they may not have 3 square meals a day the rest of their life like we do, but their afflictions may be many, but God will deliver them out of them all. God will provide their needs. Many times when our wants aren't provided, we begin to judge God. "God, but I wanted this, and I thought this was what you were going to do, and this was what I had in mind for my career, and this was what I had in mind for my family." And then when it doesn't work out that way, we begin to blame God. "Well, I thought you were a good God, and I thought you loved me." Remember, that's what Satan tried to slip in there. Brother Bram said when little Sharon Rose died, he said it was the darkest hour of his life. He called it his Gethsemane. And he said, "There I was." He said, "I could understand." You know, he recognized, and him and Sister Hope had even talked. She said, "You know why this is taking place?" He said, "Yes, I do." And he felt like it was because that they had listened to his mother-in-law when she said, "That bunch of trash out there." And they're still called a bunch of trash today, but they're God's people. Amen. We might be called trash. We might be called fanatics. Call us what you want. He called me redeemed. He called me bride. Amen. So it doesn't matter what the world calls me. You remember a few year or two ago, we were looking at names and what the different names meant. And even when Daniel went down into Babylon and it seemed like everything was wrong, he had a name change. And that name meant that he was blessed and that he was going to be blessed. And so even when his enemies would come against him and they'd say, "Let's set a trap for Daniel." What they were really saying when they said that name Belteshazzar, they were saying, "Let's set a trap for blessed." Oh, let's try to hinder blessed. And even his enemies had to call him blessed.
Oh, God will do that sometimes. Allow your enemies to, you know, to back up their tracks a little bit. But in all this, Brother Branham said it was his Gethsemane. And he began to look there and see that little baby suffering and dying. And he began to pray and said, just seemed like a black shadow came down. And Satan began to say to him, I thought you said he was a good God. He said, yeah, that's right. I thought you said he was a healer. Yeah, that's right. I thought you said he loved you. And he said, just about the time that I was about to give up and quit, he said there was something down on the inside. Oh, I'm thankful for that something down on the inside. He said, I said, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's easy to say that sometimes, you know, when we've got a pocket full of money and our family's healthy. And it's easy for us to read Job and say, oh my, thank God for a character like Job. But then when we get put into those situations sometimes, it seems like just everything. Health is failing us. Finances are failing us. Friendships are failing us. Whatever it would be, it's a little harder sometimes to stand and say, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. But he ran into a man a few months later walking down the street in the town here. And the man said, Billy, he said, when all that took place, he said, did you keep your religion? He said, no, sir, it kept me. Amen. Hey, man, I'm glad that there was something that was holding me. Oh, if it would have been my choice, I would have failed and faltered so many times, but there was something that was holding me. David speaking here, he says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, I don't wake up in the morning and say, Lord, give me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I don't think any of us go looking for that. But sometimes God allows us to get in those positions so that he can really deal with us. Remember, Brother Bram tells the story of the good shepherd. And he said, you know, there was a man that his sheep kept getting, this one little sheep, it kept getting out of the flock there. And it would run away. And he said he goes and he travels far and he finds it and he broke its leg. And as he was bringing it back, he said, many people looked and said, oh, what a cruel shepherd. What a cruel shepherd that you would break that poor little innocent lamb's leg. And he said, no. He said, I have to teach it to depend on me. Many times the Lord has to break maybe not our leg. Maybe it's our spirit. Maybe it's our pride. Maybe it's our bank account. Maybe it's different relationships, whatever it would be. Sometimes God has to break that to remind us that we need to depend on him. And he began to tell him that it's better for this little lamb to have a broken leg and to learn to depend on me than for me just to let it go and it get out here in the wolves somewhere and get ate up. Amen. I'd rather have a little bit of bruising from the Lord sometimes than to go out here and get ate up by the enemy. And so the Lord becomes nigh to those. Sometimes when you're discouraged, sometimes when you're brokenhearted, when you seems like everything's going wrong, seems like that's usually when we turn to him the most. And it's sad that sometimes he has to allow conditions like that to come to drive us into a fellowship with him. But yet he's nigh unto those that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And many, now let's say it together, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So if you have many afflictions this morning, look, you can look around at somebody and say, I must be righteous because I have many afflictions. That's all right. Amen. Sometimes it takes those times to recognize who we really are. Psalm chapter 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Again, this word contrite means to crush or to be crushed, to be contrite, to be broken. Remember the word we looked at earlier about a bruised reed. It's a very similar, even though it's two different English words, the meaning is very similar, that it was crushed and contrite and seemingly broken, but yet God was able to come on the scenes. Many times when we get in those conditions and we seem like everything's going wrong, that's when God slips along with a little balm of Gilead. And maybe we get into despair, but it drives us down to our knees in prayer. And something about it, His Spirit comes and just begins to give us a peace that maybe people say, how can you go through the things that you do and keep a smile on your face? Or how can you go through the things that you've gone through and still keep a positive testimony? It's because there was something about His Holy Spirit that came to us in those times and gave us a peace that passes understanding. When we've lost a loved one, or when we become ill, or whatever it would be, and we can go about, and no doubt in the flesh, you know, we grieve and we go through trials and we go through times where we just don't understand, Lord, why was this allowed to take place? But yet through all that, He can give us a peace that passes understanding. Through times when it seems like everybody else has forsaken us, He's a friend that'll never leave you nor forsake you. And through times when we begin to wonder, Lord, why this and why that? And I wonder many times, how do people make it that don't have Him? That don't have that peace that He brings? No wonder they go insane out here in the world, because they don't have that peace. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against Him, how they might destroy Him. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him and healed them all, and charged them that they should not make Him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon Him, and He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear His voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench. Now, Brother Branham breaks into this scripture in an insight in 1962. And he says, and as we have enjoyed singing spiritual songs, I believe we've done that this morning, and seeing the Spirit move in the audience, I believe we've seen that this morning. He says, now may you, he's speaking in his prayer here, may you provide the word that will condition the hearts of the people for farther service, for the healing of the sick and the spiritual healing of someone who has been hurt or a little tender conscience been bruised like a bruised reed. We pray that You'll strengthen it tonight, Lord, and give it of Thy healing balm that will give the cure for all, that this one that might have been turned out of the way will be turned back to the way tonight. He said the spiritual healing of someone who's been hurt or a little tender conscience been bruised like the bruised reed. I think in this day and age, most of us can apply ourselves somewhere to the scripture. Someone that's been hurt, or someone who's been disappointed or discouraged, or maybe somebody has begun to give them a complex because they've said this or they've said that, or they've done this or they've done that. And many times, you know, it's not our enemies so much that are the ones that hurt us. We expect that. I was telling Brother Hamby yesterday, I said, you know, there's people that say all kinds of things about our church, but the 90% of the negative things that are said about us are from people that have never attended the church, never visited one service. So I expect that, because they don't know what they're talking about anyhow. They say, oh, they don't play tapes over there. Well, we sure do, for any of those that have visited very much know that. They say, oh, he preaches that you shouldn't wear red and you shouldn't do this. I say, oh, good Lord, I hope not when I get up here and preach in red sometimes. But they assume things and they say things to tear down and destroy. But that doesn't bother me, because I expect that from those that don't know what they're talking about. But when it begins to hurt, when is it that it begins to hurt you? When is it that it began to hurt Jesus? They ask Him, Lord, where'd You get those wounds? He didn't say the devil gave them to me. He said, I got these in the house of my friends. And it's usually your friends or those that you have confidence in, or maybe leadership in a church, or maybe somebody around the message that's got, you know, a little bit of influence, or that's been a close friend to you that you have a lot of confidence in, you've placed a lot of trust in, and maybe they say something or do something that if your enemy said, you wouldn't even think nothing about it. You'd say, oh, just go on. That don't bother me. But when it becomes somebody maybe in your family or somebody in the church, or somebody that you considered a friend, and they tell so-and-so, well, I think this about this person, and they tell so-and-so, and then so-and-so picks up the phone and calls you and says, did you know what so-and-so's saying about you? A friend, a family member, somebody you had confidence in the church, somebody in a leadership position, and they let you down. What does it do? A bruised reed. And Brother Ram says that cancer many times comes from a bruise. a bruised cell, that you go back and look at it in demonology in the physical realm, that little bruised cell, and don't everybody with the bruise panic this morning and think, oh, good Lord, I'm going to get cancer, because that's just the devil lying to you. But he said sometimes that a cancer can form from a little bruised cell that's in your body. And that bruised cell, Satan begins to put a life in it that's not your own life, but yet it's living in you. And from that, a cancer begins to develop. And he said it's a different life that's living inside of you other than your own. I think it's interesting that Satan can do that in the physical realm, but God does that in the spiritual realm. That there's something about it, there's another life that's not your own that comes and lives inside of you. And as Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. Satan has tried to pervert it on the physical side and say, oh, I'm going to place tuberculosis or cancer, all these things in them. And it's a germ life that begins to live inside of you that before it becomes manifested, science can't even see it. Remember, Brother Bram took his wife's hand. He said, oh, you've got a cyst on your ovary. Science couldn't see it yet. But it was a spirit. It was a germ. Brother Ram talked about how many of those diseases were fourth dimension diseases. And it hadn't gotten large enough for science to see it yet. But a prophet of God caught it years before science could even see it. And they want to question and make fun and all this. And I say, oh my, we're still finding out things. Science and the news and all these things. They're still finding out things that he taught us 50 and 60 years ago. So they can make fun and do what they want. But a prophet could see farther than science. He could see farther than the news. He could see farther than what man's ideas were. And we're seeing it, many of it manifested today. I'll follow that type of a man. That people say, oh, you're following a man? Absolutely. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And if I would have been in Moses' day, they would have had to accuse me of the same thing. I would have followed that man right out of Egypt. If I would have lived in Noah's day, they would accuse me of the same thing. I would have followed that man right into the ark. How do you know, Brother Nathan? Because I'm following the vindicated word of my day. Amen. Thank God for that. And he begins to see that this little germ life that's a separate life that's living. But what was it from? It was from something that had got bruised. And many times if we're not careful in our life, we'll have a bruise or a hurt or maybe a scar that's developed in our life because of something that somebody said back in kindergarten to us, or because of something a family member said, just to maybe they were joking about it, but we took it derogatory, and we begin to build a complex about it. And what happens, we begin to cater to that, and instead of just a bruise or a scar, it begins to be a bitterness. It begins to be a root of bitterness. And it turns into something cancerous in our life. Remember, Paul said, beware of Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, their words do eat as a canker. And if you look at that word, it's a cancerous cell that spreads to the whole body. And if you're not careful, this little thing that somebody said to you 20 years ago, or this thing that maybe somebody at church forgot to shake your hand, and you begin to let Satan build a complex around you, and if you're not careful, you begin to avoid them, and you begin to stand on the other side of the church, and you begin to sit on an opposite side of the pew, and you begin to go around the other aisle when you see them in Walmart. Oh, I hope I'm preaching to somebody this morning. What is it from? It's from something that started off as just a small little bruise or a hurt that you've allowed Satan to build and build and build upon that. And you get so bitter and so upset about it that you can't hardly look that person in the eye and shake their hand. What is it? Satan has developed something inside of your life because of something that maybe happened 15 years ago. Maybe it happened 5 minutes ago. I don't know. But Satan begins to work on you. And we'll maybe look at it tonight with the help of the Lord, the different attributes of the Spirit. Brother Bram said memory and conscience and all these different things. And he said, even imaginations, he said, there he was. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit this morning, but that's okay. He said, there I was sitting there. He's preaching birth pains. And he said, Sister Branham had given him a new Bible. And he begins to turn, and he can't find the scripture. And he looks back and forth. And when he turns it, the very page, the next page looks like it's got the right verse, whatever the verse number was that he's turning to. The next page has it right there. But it's not the right text. And he begins to page back and forth. And he begins to get nervous. And he looks around. And he said there was a Catholic priest sitting on the pulpit behind him. And as he was preaching, Satan had begun to put in his mind, he's disagreeing with everything you're saying. And he doesn't believe anything you're saying. What was it? Satan was working on his imagination. And he begins to think this. And if you're not careful, Satan will begin to work on your imagination and say, well, so-and-so must not like me because they haven't called and invited me over to their house in 7 months. Well, when did you call and invite them over to your house ever? Oh, brother so-and-so hasn't invited me to go out to eat with him. He must just really hate me, even though I've never called him and invited him out to eat. But you know those little phones that we carry around, they work both ways, believe it or not. There's not just a receive button, there's a send button. And he began to think, this man's disagreeing with me. And the man steps up and he says, be steady, my son. Here, read it out of mine. Not realizing, can you imagine the sovereignty of God? That before the foundation of the world, God thought, I'm going to let a Schofield Bible page stick together so I can fulfill the word for this day. Many times, Brother Bram said, many times it's not the great big things that we're trying to do, it's the little things we leave undone. And God in his thinking, in his predestination and foreknowledge, he knew before the foundation of the world that an edition of the Schofield Bible would have two specific pages stuck in them, and that a Catholic priest would be sitting behind a prophet, and that the priest would go and hand him the book just to replicate what Jesus had happened, and then the priest handed him the book, and then he turned around and handed him back the book, and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And it was the same thing today. Oh, we don't worship the man, but we sure glorify the God that was in the man. And he begins to get upset. The pages are stuck together. And the man hands him the Bible and said, be gentle, my son. Be steady, my son. Use my book. And he begins to read the book and prophecy being fulfilled again today. And what do we find? Many times Satan will do that same thing. Here the priest, he was actually one of the only ones there that was agreeing with him. He said, you mean those Pentecostals? Brother Bram turned his back as he did. As Brother Hamby was saying yesterday that he saw him do in marriage and divorce there. And Brother Branham, if you remember, when he goes to preach marriage and divorce, he was standing in the middle of the Parkview Middle School, and the gym was to one side and the auditorium was to one side, and he was facing a curtain, and he says, I'm going to preach on marriage and divorce. He said, there's been many people that have questions about it, and he said, there's two schools of thought, and the truth lies right in the middle. And he said, if you notice, I'm standing right in the middle of both congregations today. And he begins to preach to one and preach to the other. But then he said he began to turn his back to the gym, and he began to call out people. There's a person over here, there's a person over there. Begin to call their name, who they were, where they were from, people that he never met. They begin to raise their hands. Yes, that's me. That's my problem. Do you believe it? And the priest begins to see him do this in birth pains in 1962. Begins to see this same gift. And he said, you mean those Pentecostal people don't recognize what that is? And he said, be quiet. It's not the hour. He had to keep the Catholic priest quiet that he thought was the one that was disagreeing with him. Many times we think, oh, brother so-and-so, he must just have a problem with me, and he disagrees with everything I say and everything I believe, and Satan will begin to put things in your mind. You'll pick up the phone and call, oh, I think brother so-and-so really had a problem with what I said the other day, but have you went to that brother about it? Oh, I was talking to him, and he just had a scowl on his face. Yeah, maybe his wife burned his pancakes that morning, and he still had a bad taste in his mouth. And you think he's disagreeing with everything you're saying. He's thinking, oh my, that tastes so terrible. But I love her, so I swallowed it down anyhow. And I've still got this taste in my mouth. And you're thinking that he hates you and wants to see you trip and fall. And what is it? Satan, God works on both ends of the line, as Brother Furman was saying earlier. But Satan tries to do the same thing. Remember, Satan tries to pervert everything that God does. He says the spiritual healing of someone who's been hurt, a little tender conscience been bruised like the bruised reed. There's many people around the message that they won't have anything to do with any type of a minister. Why? Because many of them have been hurt by a minister before. And there's a bruise there. There's a spot where they fell into false doctrine for a little while because of a minister, or a minister misused money, or he got into women trouble, or he got into doctrinal trouble, or he got it back into the world, or he left the message, and they had so much confidence in this man, and they lifted him up so high that when they begin to get hurt by this man, they go out and say, well, I can't have confidence in anybody. Don't you realize that's the devil trying to keep the bride from having confidence in one another? Don't lift up a man so high that he becomes your Holy Spirit. Because when that man disappoints you, or even maybe something not sin, but he forgets to shake your hand, or he forgets to read your prayer request or something, and you've made him your Holy Spirit, your whole world just begins to collapse. I've seen people literally walk away from the message, not because of problems in the message itself, but because of problems they had with people in the message. I've had people say, oh, I wouldn't go to this church or that church because of somebody that attends that church. How ridiculous is that? You say, oh, there's a bunch of hypocrites down there at so-and-so's church. I'm not going down there. Well, you don't let it keep you out of Walmart. There's a lot more hypocrites down there. Can you imagine getting on the intercom? This is Nathan Bryant, and I'm here at Walmart. And I want all the hypocrites to get out because I got my shopping to do. But we expect that at church. Bless God if there's a hypocrite down there. I'm not going. Don't you know that Satan always puts all the best scarecrows around the best crops? Well, if you're a farmer and you've got a big, beautiful crop of corn, you're going to put every scarecrow that you can think of around there to keep those crows and buzzards and things out. But why should that surprise us around the message then? We've seen many things over the years, especially in this area. Everything that you can think of comes into this area and attacks it. Why? Because it's where the word came from to begin with. And we've seen every spirit and false doctrine and thing that you can imagine or think of come in this area and try to attack this area. And then people get discouraged and walk away. That just makes me believe it that much more, because I know there's going to be scarecrows where the best food is. Oh, there's a lot of fanatics around the message. Praise the Lord. There was a lot around Luther's and Wesley's too. That just proved that much more that it was the real thing. But many times we get our feelings hurt by somebody, and we begin to avoid that person. Instead of going and trying to make it right, we begin to avoid that person, and we begin to let it just tear us up, and it begins to consume our day, and it begins to consume our conversations. And we can't run into somebody on the street without telling them how so-and-so hurt us, and how tore up we are, and everything, every quote and every scripture we read, it begins to point us back to that, and we begin to build doctrines around it. We begin to build our own ideas around it, because when we look, that's all we can see is the hurt. We look at a scripture, oh, that's right. I was mistreated too, just like that scripture says. Well, old brother so-and-so, and we run into somebody. Did I ever tell you about what brother so-and-so did to me and how he said this about me? And it begins to consume our whole life. The only thing I want to consume my life is the Holy Spirit. He's a consuming fire. I don't want to be consumed by what somebody said about me or what somebody thought about me or what somebody teased me about when I was 5 years old. We begin to develop scars from these things, and if you're not careful, it'll begin to just tear your world apart. But God is near to those that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He didn't promise we'd never be hurt. He didn't promise we'd never be discouraged. He didn't promise that things would never go wrong, but He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised He'd give us some eye salve. He promised He'd give us some balm, that when we're going through those times, that He'd be with us and that He'd provide a way. Even when it seems like we're going through terrible things, yet He would provide a way for us. I'm thankful that He provides a way for us. Where would we be without that? Where would we be when we go through situations and it seems like everything's gone wrong and everybody's turned their back on you? Where would you be without Him? That's why I don't want anybody to lift me up to a position. I appreciate you coming to me and asking me questions. I try to answer them the best I can by the scripture and the Bible. I appreciate you looking to me for prayer when you're sick. And I appreciate you having confidence in me. That's wonderful. You should do that to your pastor. But don't ever lift me up to an elevated spot to where you try to bypass the Holy Spirit for my advice. Or you try to bypass the Holy Spirit for what? Well, Brother Nathan says this, so I guess I'll just do that. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just I do it because mommy and daddy taught me to. I appreciate that mommy and daddy taught me to. But there's a lot of men out here that'll talk you out of what mommy and daddy taught you. It has to be an experience down on the inside for yourself. I'm not looking for a substitute for the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to be yours. God sends men. He sends prophets, He sends evangelists, He sends pastors and teachers, and He sends those with the 9 spiritual gifts. He sends encouragers. He sends people that maybe they feel like they aren't nothing at all. Maybe they feel like they're this small. Maybe they don't have a title. Maybe they're not a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, but they're just somebody that spends time on their knees in prayer for somebody. That's just as important. Remember what Brother Branham said the other day on tape? He said, the housewife, he said, is just as important as even his own gift. In the message, we scratch our heads and say, how can that be? But you chop off your toe, or you chop off a limb, or you chop off something, you'll realize just how important that was to you. Just how much that you needed that little, you know, you break off a toenail because you stub it on something, you realize real quick, I needed that toenail more than I thought I did. Why? Because it's part of the body. Did I need it as much as I needed my eyes? No, but I sure miss it if it's gone or if it's hurt. Did I need it as much as I did my ears or my tongue? No, but I sure miss it when it's gone. I sure miss it when it's grieving and when it's hurting, the whole body begins to grieve. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if one member rejoices, we ought to all rejoice. Not say, well, bless God, I wish God would give me a job as good as brother so-and-so. Why don't you rejoice with him for his job? Rejoice with God for the job that he gave you. Or if you're without a job, for the job he's going to send you. Rejoice. And when one member suffers, when they're hurting, when they're discouraged, when they've lost a loved one, when they've got financial trouble or marital trouble, all the body should suffer with them and pray for them and not get on the phone and run them down to brother so-and-so or put on Facebook how much you hate them or all these different things or text everybody in the nation and get them on your side. No. What do? We pray for that brother or sister. They're hurting. So I'm hurting with them. They're going through a trial. So I want to enter into their suffering, like Brother Branham said. How can you ever help somebody if you don't enter into their suffering? Oh my, God is good to us, isn't he? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we were referring to this earlier. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I love that the Bible says that it was Jesus' custom to go to church. You know, Paul, it said, as his custom was, he went in and began to talk with them about the scriptures in the synagogue there. And Brother Branham said, it's usually my custom to try to be in church somewhere on Sunday if I can. And I find it so interesting that all these, you know, the greatest examples that we've ever had said that, and yet so many people struggle with that. And yet when times change and circumstances change, it changes. But I don't care what the circumstances of the times are, the Word of God doesn't change. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Many people want to preach to the rich. Oh, they want to have a church full of millionaires. Bless God. Well, think of all we can do with a church full of millionaires. But not many will go to the poor. But he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Many pastors love to counsel people that never have problems. But what about the brokenhearted? Do you want to take time for them to try to help them and encourage them and counsel them? He came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Oh, we want a church full of perfect people that don't have any addictions or troubles or trials or temptations. But he came to preach deliverance to the captives. Somebody said a while back, oh, you just take anybody over there at that church, don't you? Yeah, go to the website and check the name again, Church of the Open Door. You say, well, brother so-and-so, I heard that he's living in sin. What's he doing at church? That's where we want him to be. That's where God can get a hold of his life and do something for him. Amen. I'm not here to kick people out. I'm here to bring people in. Amen. Now, if they can't handle the word and they want to go, that's fine. We're not here to pet people and baby them and convince them to stay. But we're not here to run people off. I don't remember Jesus running people off. A lot of people ran off because they didn't like what he said. But he didn't run them off. Their own convictions ran them off. And recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This day he's come to preach the gospel to the poor. This day he's come to heal the brokenhearted. This day he's come to preach deliverance to the captive. This day he's come to give recovering of the sight to the blind. This day he's come to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. And we've seen it again in our day. Again, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Why? When I pick up a tape or a book, I'm never sitting there and thought, oh my, I was so discouraged after hearing that. God didn't send a prophet to discourage us. He sent it to encourage us. If it discourages you, you better wonder what group that you're from. Because those that were in Noah's day, that the message discouraged them and became a message of judgment, they were on the wrong side of the boat. Amen. But I want to be inside the boat. Remember, it wasn't a boat. Many people come and they paint up the outside pretty good and they pretend to be a Christian and a message believer. But remember, it couldn't be just pitched on the outside. You had to get good and pitched on the inside too. He said, old people come and say, oh, I profess this and I profess that, and temper enough to fight a buzzsaw and all kinds of malice and strife and pride and all these kind of things, bitterness. He says in one quote, he said, don't ever let no root of bitterness spring up amongst you. He said, because as sure as anything, it'll mar your experience. I don't want my experience marred. I don't want Satan to come and allow me to get so upset at a brother or so hurt by a brother or a sister or something that was done. Don't you think that Satan won't try to do that, that he won't come in and try to cause trouble, even in our message ranks and even in our message churches and even in our message families? Where do you think he wants to attack the most? And if he's fighting you and if he's after you, then you should thank God because he hasn't got you. You say, oh, Satan's really been working me over lately. Well, praise the Lord. If he was his, he'd leave you alone, so you must not be his. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Marriage of the Lamb, 1960. Brother Bram says it this way. Whatever they have need of, give it to them in abundance. There be any sick, Lord, heal them. If there be any that's falling by the wayside, strengthen that one, that feeble knee. A bruised reed he will not break, or a smoking flax he will not quench. And we know that he would never turn away a bruised reed. He would mend it. He would mend it. Those that are hurting, those that maybe their loved ones have walked off and left them, those that maybe have got family members that aren't serving the Lord, those that maybe have financial troubles, those that maybe have problems in their home and that maybe nobody knows about, maybe those that are going through trials and temptations that nobody else sees, and Satan buffets them, and he buffets them, and they fight back and forth with him all day long, and their flax gets so dim and so weak, Their ember of flame that they've got for the Lord, it almost gets put out. But God doesn't come along and say, hey, you ain't serving me just like I like. I'm just going to snuff you out. No, he's patient. He's kind. He's long-suffering. I wish more message people would be that way. Patient, kind, long-suffering. Those are some of the fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to have. Long-suffering with a brother. But now today, might somebody disagree with you on one thing? Bless God, he's an old serpent seed. Real long-suffering. Real patient, real kind, real meek, real humble. But God, he sees this one. Maybe they've got all kinds of troubles. Maybe they've got scars from when they was a child. Maybe they were physically abused or mentally abused. Or maybe they were made fun of at school and they begin to build complex after complex after complex. And they get to a spot to where they can't trust anybody and they can't have confidence in anybody. And Satan begins to isolate them away from everybody else. Remember Brother Bram said in Thirsting for Life, he said it's that little deer that gets away from the herd and isolates itself off. He said that's the one that the wolf goes after when he sees that there's nobody there to encourage him and to lift him up. But I thank God that we have people that, as I began to say earlier, they may not have big titles. They may not have all these different things. They may not have degrees plastering their walls. But there's something about them. God's placed something in them to be an encourager. And maybe they pick up the phone sometimes and call a brother or sister. How are you doing? I just want to let you know I've been praying for you. I just want to let you know. Look like you've been discouraged lately. And I've had such a burden on my heart. You may feel about this small and feel like you don't have no part in the body at all. But you don't realize God is using you to be an encourager. And that's an attribute of him that maybe there's somebody. Maybe it's a bruised reed or a smoking flax. And maybe their flame's just about to go out. Or maybe they've been so bruised and so hurt that they're just about to give up and walk away, and that little bit of encouragement gives them just a little bit more to hold on, a little bit more of, oh my, there really is something godly still around today. And remember Brother Branham said that people are just longing to see something real. They've seen so much false and so much phony and so much, you know, like people today, oh, I love you, you know, and pat you on the back and then stab you in it when you walk away with something they're saying to you, to somebody else. They've seen so much of that. They're just longing for something real. That's right. I thank God that God still places the Holy Spirit in people so that there's something real that people can see. And I pray, Heavenly Father, he's saying again here, continuing on in Marriage of the Lamb. I pray, Heavenly Father, if there be any spirits that's broken or discouraged or feeble hands hanging down and knees bagged, may they be lifted up tonight, Lord. May the Holy Spirit come and heal our hearts and our spirits and our physical beings, and we'll give him all the praise for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. How many knows that? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. I'm so thankful that through times when Satan has come and he tries to get us to give up, tries to tell us nobody cares, tries to tell us that nobody really loves you, nobody really cares about you, nobody really prays for you anymore. I'm thankful that with all those things that Satan would try to put on us and try to put into our imagination and try to put into our ear and try to put into our conscience, that there's something that we recognize. God, I don't know why I'm going through this trial. I don't know why you've placed this upon me, but I know that you promised that you wouldn't place more on me than I could bear. And with that temptation, with that trial, with whatever it would be, that you'd also provide me a way of escape. Sometimes it doesn't come the way that we expect it. Sometimes it comes just in a song. Somebody sings a song, something about it grants deliverance to us. We say, oh, thank you, Lord. That's just what I needed. That just speaks to what I'm going through. Sometimes it comes from a verse that maybe you've read that verse 700 times over and over and over in your Bible, but there's something about it right at that stage in your life. Your eyes light on that, and there's something that becomes real to you. It becomes a comfort to you. And you think, my, I've read that 100 times, but why has it never meant that much to me? Because now you're in a place of suffering. You're in a place of brokenheartedness. You're in a place where God can get a hold of your life and begin to deal with you in that way. And we begin to pick up a tape or a book, and we begin to hear the prophet speak. And as we do, something speaks to our heart. Maybe we've heard that tape 3 dozen times, and something about it just in that moment of need. Maybe in that moment of despair. Maybe in that moment of weakness when we don't feel like we can hold anymore, strength and encouragement is spoken. Maybe it comes to somebody, as I said, picking up the phone or writing you a letter. Maybe they haven't talked to you in 3 years, and just something on their heart, they call at the right time, or they send you a text message or write you a letter just at the right time. You think these things are by coincidence? Brother Ram said there's no coincidence to a believer. Maybe it comes even through the foolishness of preaching, or maybe it comes through somebody that you bump into on the street, and they begin to tell you something that God's done in their life, and it speaks to your heart. God has ways of dealing with us and encouraging us. Even when it seems dark, and even when it seems like everything is gone, and even as maybe the disciples felt that day before the resurrection, after Good Friday, that just all hopes was gone, and everything was despair. But Brother Bram said, why does those trials come? Why does God allow things like that to happen? He said, because it drives us into a closer fellowship with him. He said, remember on a tape we listened to recently here at the church, he said, there was too much Branham in him. And he said, God had to crush him. Remember, we're looking at a bruised reed and a contrite spirit. And those words, contrite and bruised, it means to crush. He said, it had to be crushed out of him. He said, you don't get the best perfume out of a rose until it's been crushed. And he said those things had to be crushed out of him so that Christ could come and live through him. Many times we get crushed. Maybe our hopes, maybe our expectations, maybe our ideas for life, or maybe our plans, or maybe what we had, maybe we had confidence in someone. It all just gets crushed. But there's somebody that can supply some balm of Gilead during those times. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a faithful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I hope you came this morning expecting something. I hope you don't walk away and just say, well, it was just another church service, and well, we had an okay time. But I hope that there can be healing that was provided for whatever you're facing. Maybe it brought things to your mind of things that you faced years ago that maybe you haven't even thought of in many, many years, and just bringing up hurt and disappointments and scars and things like that. But may God just begin to strengthen the feeble knees and lift up the feeble hands, and may He begin to encourage your heart. May He begin to provide healing to those scars and those bruises and those flaxes that are just about burnt out in a way that only He can. I can't do it. I'll admit it to you this morning. I can't do it. I can't bring it in my briefcase and say, here's healing for you, and here's healing for you, and here's encouragement for you, and here's this. But the Holy Spirit can do it. Amen. The Holy Spirit can lead and guide and go down each pew and each aisle, and He can begin to minister, whether it's through a tape or through myself or Brother Layton or a guest minister, or through a song, through a prayer, through whatever it would be. He can begin to encourage and minister, and to heal up these wounds, and to bind up the brokenhearted. We're so privileged to serve a God like that. That He's mindful of us. He was so mindful of us that He allowed things. He pulled the prophet in certain directions, and questions and answers and different things. Maybe not even for those in 1950 or 1960. But because He knew you would have a question today. And maybe He goes and answers it, and maybe the person that asked the question thinks, so odd, why did He answer the question that way? But God loved you that much. Sometimes He lays things on people's heart, and they're up maybe at 3 a.m. praying, and they don't even know why they're praying for you. What is it? He loved you that much. Oh, if He loved us that much, I hope we can have confidence in Him this morning. That whatever comes, whatever we face, all the afflictions may be many, but He'll deliver us. He'll provide for us. He'll give us the strength to withstand. Maybe not in the way we expect. Maybe not in the season we expect. But He'll come and provide healing for those bruised reeds. He'll lift up those weakened hands. He'll strengthen the feeble knees. Amen. God bless you this morning. If the musicians would come, where would we be without His grace? Oh my, let's sing this together this morning. This is number 264 in your hymn book if you don't know it. All the trials of this world were getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. Oh, and I was on the verge of giving over. Strength within myself just wasn't there, but something keeps holding me every day. I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing it again. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Oh, Satan laid before me his temptation. Oh, it was his desire to steal away my faith. But thank God I found in time this revelation. It was the strength I need to keep me in His grace. Oh, something keeps holding me. Aren't you thankful? Every day Oh, yes, Satan laid before me his temptation. It was his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I found in time the revelation. It was the strength I need to keep me in his grace. Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see he's helping me faith. Helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly. He keeps giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing it again. Something keeps holding me every day I see. Thank you, Lord. Helping me. Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. We want to thank you. All the many times that Satan would try to lie to us, he would try to tell us we'll never make it. Try to tell us we're not predestinated or we're not saved or that we'll never make it in a rapture. Times that he would try to discourage us and tell us we're not worthy. Boo, devil, we know we're not worthy, but we're not dependent on ourselves. We're dependent on a sacrifice. Oh, Father, I thank you that times when he would try to come and maybe hurt us by things that have been said or things that have been done, maybe point us back by memory to things in our past and say, you'll never make it. Look what you did. Look what type of person you were. That's right, past tense word. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that we aren't maybe what we ought to be, but we sure aren't what we used to be. Help us, Father, continue to mold us and make us. When he would try to rob us of our victory and he would try to lie to us and tell us nobody loves us or everybody's turned against us, oh, Father, may you just lift up the feeble hands. Strengthen the weak knees, Father. When Satan tries to rob us of our victory, may you raise up a standard against him. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe they're going through something. Maybe they've been brokenhearted because of something that's happened in their life. Maybe they've been discouraged because of something that's happened around the message. Maybe they've been disillusioned by something that's happened in their church, Father. Oh, but may you just lift up those feeble hands. May you bind up the brokenhearted. May you grant balm of Gilead for all those wounds and bruises and sores and scars that they face down through life. Maybe something from years ago. Maybe somebody said something evil to them or did something evil to them, and they've allowed that to build complexes in their life that's hindered them from moving forward in you or hindered them from having confidence in anybody. Oh, Father, may you come and heal this morning. May you come and mend. May you come and speak to hearts, Father. Lord, we thank you this morning that you're still calling. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your mercy to us. Oh, Father, may you just come again this morning. Preach to the poor. Open the blind eyes. Bring those that are bound by sins and trespasses and addictions and trials. Bring them out of bondage, Father. Grant deliverance. Grant healing. Oh, Father, minister to each one in your own ways. Only you can, Father. I don't know all the needs. I don't know all the circumstances. I don't know all the history. But, Father, you do. You know each life. You know each heart. May you move among lives. May you encourage as only you can, Father. Oh, we thank you this morning, Father, that even maybe when we wouldn't have held on, there was something down on the inside that kept holding us. Lord, may you just continue to give peace, give strength. Oh, Lord, speak to each heart this morning. May we go out of here closer to you than we were when we came in. May we go out of here with more love in our hearts for our brothers, to look around and see that we're not maybe the only one that's hurting, or maybe the only one that's got problems or trials, but there's other members of the bride of Christ that are going through things, going through trials, going through things that have maybe shaken them to their core, Father. May we have a handout to help somebody else, to not be so self-centered that we can't see past our own trial or our own problems. Give us, Lord, that Christ-like spirit that we would do something for somebody else, that we would have a servant's heart, a heart of humility, a handout to help somebody. Oh, Jesus, may you just be welcome in our midst. Be with each one present, Father. Speak to hearts. Mend and bind up and heal each situation, each scar, each bitterness, whatever it would be, Father. May we put that and forget those things that were in the past, but move forward, pressing on to the mark of the high calling. Lord, when Satan tries to bring up our past, help us to remind him of his future. Oh, give us strength, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, something keeps holding me every day I see. It's helping me faithfully all my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding. And I begin to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the spirit. I feel the pull.
Oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Oh, just believe when tried many physicians. She grew worse, so to Jesus she came. When the crowd, they tried to restrain her, she whispered these words. Touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just whispered these words through her pain. Oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life, it will never be the same. Just believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus, it's all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only just believe when you call on His name. Papa God, you saved me from my whole life. You forgave me. You have and made me whole. You touched my heart and changed my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Oh, Papa God, yes, Lord, you saved me from my whole life.
Let's just give Him praise and worship Him as we sing it. Oh, Papa God, Lord, You saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, You have cleansed. You made me whole. Lord, You touched my heart. I'm so happy. Are you happy this morning? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of we got something to be happy about. Oh, can't you see why? Oh, I'm so happy, for I've accepted. Lord, have eyes to see and ears to hear. It's the revealed word. Oh, that was spoken by the prophet. Oh, one more time together with all our hearts. Yes, can't you see why? Oh, we're so happy, for we've accepted. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's the revealed that was spoken. I believe this morning. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Not down to rest for minutes, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Oh, you won't leave here like you came. Tormented, sick or lame, the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came. God bless you, you're dismissed. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Sick or lame, the